This is LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk right here on 91.5 KUNV Las Vegas. Ray Brewer alongside Taylor Byrne coming at you with some great sports talk today. It's that awkward time in the fall where we're ready for basketball.
Is it awkward? I think some people, you know, for a lot of other
exciting
for a lot of other places, this is, you know, like a great time because you've got football still going on and basketball about to start. Now here, you know, I think most people have checked out of football after this most before this most recent loss, but this only adds on to it. The loss 24-13 this past weekend at San Diego State, 1-8 on the year.
Taylor, you're a good guy. I mean, you are a nice person.
I appreciate that.
A guy who, you know, I'd let you date a daughter if I had one. You're a good guy. Do you at all feel bad for UNLV, like, as each game kind of, like, the great opening drive again. They've really do good on opening drives this year. Reno game, San Diego State game. Or they have done good on opening drives.
Yeah, they've got a few of them.
Okay,
yeah.
Cornette takes it to the house. Everybody's all excited. Touchdown. They miss the extra point. Are you just like, is it like a train wreck where as soon as it happens, you're just like, oh, God, no. You know, you're not allowed to root, but does part of you feel bad? It's like the Band-Aid's coming off so slow.
For the players, yeah. I don't really feel bad for the coaches so much because, you know, it's just kind of it's more of a job. You know, they're getting paid for this, and, you know, I think at the college level, I'm more comfortable putting more of the blame on coaches and individual players. But I feel bad for the kids. I wish they could win. You know, I wish that they could, you know, see essentially, you know, like the fruits of their labor and that type of thing. It sucks to lose over and over like that. My intramural team knows all about that. It's not a good feeling.
Yeah, and it's not like, I think you bring up a valid point. It's not like the kids aren't that good at football. I mean, they're 1-8. It's the bottom line. But I think this year, more than years past, I think the group really cares and they're trying. And I don't know if I could have confidently said that about previous teams. And I think for me, as a human being, and a guy who, not as nice as you, but a not semi-nice person, that's where, for me, it's kind of gut-wrenching. Yeah, I went to UNLV. I've got a certain soft spot in my heart for the team. But you just feel bad for these kids. Like, you know, Nolan Cohurst, a great kid. I mean, I really like him. I covered him in high school at Green Valley. I think he's a great kicker. The timing was just off on that kick. But you just feel bad that the UNLV football team is not built to handle a disaster. They need to play near flawless football and get not the other team's best effort to even have a chance to win.
Yeah, and effort hasn't really been an issue this year.
When you're 1-8 is a good thing.
Yeah, I would have expected, you know, guys to quit by now. You know, I was kind of waiting for after the first blowout loss, which turned out to, you know, be predictably that Louisiana Tech one, see how they bounce back. And, you know, the Reno game was right after that, and they came out tremendous in that. And the offense since the second half of that game just hasn't been able to put much together. You know, they have a couple nice drives on. You mentioned that against San Diego State, Cornette broke off, I think it was like 64-yarder to go on the board. I honestly didn't think much of that missed extra point except for how it might affect the spread coming later because I just didn't, you know, it never felt like oh, maybe this means that UNLV's got a better chance today. You know, it because I remember that Northern Arizona game and how good the team was in the first quarter. And then I know it can so easily go after that. And this was definitely a much better team than that. You know, San Diego State isn't great. They've won 4 in a row, but those wins include Colorado State, Hawaii, and UNLV, if I'm not mistaken. The other one in that was 39-38, really nice victory at Reno. Double overtime, went for two, which is awesome in my book. But they're not, you know, they're definitely better than UNLV, but it's not a great margin, so I wasn't surprised that UNLV was able to cover the 18-point spread. They had a little bit of a chance in the fourth quarter, but to me, San Diego State got the ball back. Now, UNLV shot itself in the foot with an offensive penalty. They were down 11. They were going to get some points, whether it's a field goal, whether it's a touchdown. You need something on that drive. Penalty knocks them back. Sack knocks them even farther. They got a punt. And so San Diego State gets the ball back with 6:55 on the clock. UNLV's got all three timeouts. Rebels are definitely getting the ball back at some point, right? And you would think so. Mm-hmm. They have to. You have to come up with one stop there, just one. And San Diego State just marches it on them, runs out the clock. that, I mean, if there's ever something you want to point to, say, you know, as a counter to the effort, like we were talking about, it's that drive.
Sure.
Because that's just, that's inexcusable. Especially for a defense that, you know, they gave up a ton of yards on the ground overall, and they gave up some big plays, but they were also, they were playing pretty good.
Bend, but don't break.
They had three turnovers in the first half, and that's a problem on the offense for not being able to capitalize on anything. They scored on Cornette's touchdown, then they scored in the second half, but off of those three turnovers in the first half, they didn't get any points from that. And then there was one series in the second half where James Boyd had a tipped pass on three consecutive plays. Like, they were getting pressure. They were occasionally doing some good things on defense, but then when they needed them most for one stop, give the offense a chance, they couldn't do anything.
Yeah, you're waking up with the sun right here on 91.5 KUNV. This is LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. You're listening to Ray Brewer, Taylor Byrne, dissecting the 1-8 UNLV football team and its most recent loss at San Diego State for, hey, new number. We're in the 20s now. They're 20. Is it 20 in a row?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. On the road. Yeah. I was like, which number are we
talking
about?
Did I shock you a little bit? Yeah. My math is never that good. But yeah, UNLV's 20th consecutive road loss. And the numbers, if you want to break down the numbers, Taylor, for UNLV football, there's no way around it. It's fairly ugly. With that said, this is still a very winnable part of the schedule. And New Mexico comes to Sam Boyd Stadium Saturday afternoon for a game that me as a future bettor had pegged in July as a potential winner. Now the Fighting Davies, as you call Bob Davie, the first year coach in New Mexico, they're 4-4, a lot better than people thought.
It's like either 4-5 or 4-6 now. And they had a really weird game this past Saturday
against Fresno.
They were up 21-0 on Fresno, end up losing something like 49-31 or 32. It never seemed like that was going to be a win for New Mexico, even when they were up big. But I wouldn't have expected them to, you know, drop like that immediately. But that's, you know, New Mexico is, it's tough to get a read on them because they, you know, they do have four wins, but not, you know, not really a marquee one amongst that. But they have close loss to Reno.
Boise
yeah. was a main one I was thinking of when they came to New Mexico. It was like a 32-29 game. They've made some big strides in the first year. UNLV actually a 3.5-point favorite this Saturday.
I know, which is a head shaker for you. I think they're a favorite because they play good at home.
Well, they, and you know, they're good against the spread this year, and they're good against the spread at home under Bobby in his 2+ seasons. And so to me, that's the only reason why it's that number. I'm just having a hard time imagining anybody going up to the book and laying those points.
Yeah, I'd like to take the team that has got 5 wins in the last 3 years, and I'd like to take them to win by 3 points.
Yeah, by four.
Yeah, you're right. It does sound semi-strange. Here's my deal. This game was the game that they're supposed to win all year. You know, in the...
Well, but that's, you know, that's a preseason.
There
are still games like that left on the schedule.
Hawaii, CSU.
Like you mentioned the road losing streak, it's up to 20 games. Mm-hmm. That absolutely must end this year because you're not going to find much more winnable road games than Colorado State and Hawaii.
I mean, very realistically, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, and I know that the listeners are going to laugh when I say this. And you're laughing.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Don't even smile. You got a great smile, by the way. Not only is he one of the nicest guys I know, Byrne has got the whitest teeth in the office. I think they got it. Why can't UNLV run the table to
there
close
it is.
The season?
Yep.
Tell me why can't they?
They
tell
because,
me why. Tell
because
me who
they're
they're
already
playing first.
Okay. It's New Mexico at
W,
home,
baby.
At Colorado State.
Put it on the board.
Wyoming at
all
home.
Night we beat them.
At Hawaii.
Our bowl game, 4-0.
UNLV so far this year in one possession games is 1-4. And they are not going to blow any of these teams out, most likely. They've got a chance, but you know, what makes you believe that they're actually going to? So with that in mind, if you're thinking, you know, some of these are going to be close games, because it's mostly, you know, it's bad on bad. It's a bad team versus a bad team. And so in a close game like that, what makes you believe that all of a sudden UNLV is going to like pull out all four of those? Like, there's maybe one blowout in there. I am not I'm not comfortable saying that UNLV is going to win by double digits in both of those road games, even though I think they absolutely should.
Totally agree with you. It's a coin flip if they could pull it off. The opponent, however, you could ask the same question about them. Why is Hawaii – if UNLV loses this game at Hawaii, I know it's impossible to travel to the island.
I think the Colorado State one is more important because of what you're saying.
Okay.
Because the Hawaii game, there is that travel. It's the last game of the year.
It's
right after Thanksgiving. It's just kind of – there's just enough little factors that you could see it being not as strong a performance as it should be. Up in Fort Collins, that's the one you need to roll in.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you buy into the old altitude theory up in Colorado State, but, you know, it's definitely it's definitely something to consider.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I have one other interesting tidbit about this New Mexico game.
Let's hear it.
And this is only – because I think crazy – as everybody knows, this is LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, talking UNLV football. I'm Ray Brewer alongside Taylor Byrne. Remember back in February, the Tuesday before National Signing Day, and two three-star local guys from Gorman were signed, sealed, and delivered to New Mexico State. Gorman wide receiver Ryan Smith's dad is an assistant, so they had that pipeline going. And they're thinking, now we could start getting some of these lower-tier Gorman guys over. And Scoggins and Phillippe last-minute flip to UNLV. Perfect example of Bobby finally keeping home a local kid. Turns out both had real tight ties to the community. Scoggins' dad played for UNLV. Phillippe's dad's a former strength coordinator. Both very active in their local communities as well. So it's one of the reasons they stayed. But does that factor in at all? Does Bobby want to win this game because he knows that New Mexico's coming in and trying to take kids like, you know, a Justin Sweet from Gorman that have UNLV kind of written all over them that he needs to get?
Do you think
New Mexico's upset because of the last-minute flips? And can you bring that up at the presser?
I'm sure that they weren't happy losing out on recruits. I think you're overthinking Bobby's motivation on an individual game-to-game. He really wants to win. They're 1-8. He's got 5 wins in 3 years. He doesn't care who it comes against. He just needs to win.
Okay.
I think that beggars can't be choosers.
I agree. You
can't pick. Well,
in dating when I was single.
I'd like our victories to be against this team. You don't get to ask that or to hope for that if you're a UNLV right now. You got to just take whatever you can get. And that right now is the rest of the bottom of the league. You know, there's a fairly clear divide now after New Mexico's last two losses between the top 5 teams and the bottom 5. UNLV is clearly in the bottom 5. And so are its remaining 4 opponents. So you're right that, you know, 4-0 isn't, you know, that's not a shock. Like, nobody should be completely shocked if that happened. But the odds of it, like, what would you lay on that? Like,
I think it's plus 350, 400. Because you figure.
I think it's got to be more than that. To go for UNLV to win 4 games in a row,
they're going to be favored in 3 of the 4 games.
That's still.
I'm from a pure odds standpoint, if you take each game individually.
But stacking those up, that would almost equal the amount of wins they had in the 2-plus seasons coming into Saturday.
I know, but these 4 teams are that beatable.
So was Northern Arizona.
I can't explain Northern Arizona's Utah games.
Like, it's just, on paper, you're right. It is entirely possible for them to go 4-0 with this. They're going to be more talented than at least 2 of the teams guaranteed, possibly the other 2. You know, their 1 win this earlier this year against Air Force, New Mexico runs a similar system. And so, you know, they've proven that they can at least contain that a little bit.
And more importantly for me, they're going to be as athletic. None of those teams have anybody that you're like, oh, gosh, this guy could run real quick. And I think UNLV's lack of athleticism has killed them,
in my humble opinion. Their secondary, I know we bring it up every week, but it was amazing watching it again at San Diego State. Dingwell, backup quarterback for San Diego State, was just playing them like a fiddle.
He's no backup, though. He was great when he came in relief.
That was his first career start.
Totally understand, but he threw for like 3 touchdowns and 180 the week before.
Yeah, but that...
He's better than your typical. He's a lot better than UNLV's backup. Put it that way.
Oh, come yeah.
A lot of teams.
That game would have been ugly this week if if UNLV wasn't able to go with Nick Sherry. That would have been a problem.
I would wholeheartedly agree with you. Here's why, for me, these four games are important. Okay, take a total step back. Obviously, the obvious. They need the win because they've only won five games in Bobby's two-plus years. But look at the landscape of the Mountain West Conference next year. Gone is Boise. Gone is San Diego State. Okay? So who's left? Fresno, Reno, and a bunch of teams UNLV could beat. Right?
No.
Air Force they beat this year.
Barely.
Hawaii. At home. They won. Was that not a W? They you won were there.
This one. Yeah. I'm not marking that up next year.
But look at the landscape of the league next year. It's teams that UNLV's equal as, okay? And the Mountain West still is going to be. Can I finish?
Go ahead.
I mean, am I allowed to finish here?
What about Utah State?
Listen, Utah State right now is at the top.
Yeah.
But they're not going to stay up there. If history has shown anything, Utah State is very equal to UNLV. In fact, I believe UNLV's last road win was at Utah State.
And how long ago was that?
20 road games ago. I'm just saying.
21.
21. Whatever road games ago it was there. But what I'm saying is that with Boise out and San Diego State out, the league, UNLV could compete in. Okay, they're not Ohio State in the Big Ten. No doubt about it.
Why do you got to bring up Ohio State again? The analogy doesn't work.
Okay, pick your favorite league. But they're not Florida of the SEC. Wyoming
could get better next year and beat them in Laramie.
Who knows how the league's going to match up and travel next year.
They could lose in Albuquerque next year. Like, that wouldn't be that, you know.
Okay, but they're going to have CSU, Hawaii, and Wyoming at home next year.
CSU doesn't get better next year. And Hawaii is terrible this year under first-year coach, but they've lost six defensive linemen. Who's to say they can't get a little bit better?
All I'm saying is that these four games, Taylor, set the table for next year. UNLV, in my opinion, don't get cute. Ground and pound. Make a statement. Be aggressive. You have a chance. I'm telling you, the light is at the end of the tunnel. Maybe I'm the only one that sees it. Maybe I'm a homer because I went to UNLV. But this team is not as bad as they've been the past 2 years. There are signs of greatness. Okay. There are signs of good play.
There are signs of goodness.
Correction. Asterisk, correction. There are signs of goodness. Okay, what does UNLV really, really need? They need to go
secondary.
In the worst way. But for me, I'm a guy where I like to get athletes on the field and people in the space. UNLV needs to go to a JC, find a kid that couldn't qualify for a D1 out of high school because he's likely not going to qualify to go to spring practice, and say, hey, listen, if you could somehow get here by August, we'll get you the rock 18 times a game in space. And I'm sorry.
What about your boy Adonis going to be eligible next year?
He is, but he's a running back, and he's going to be behind Cornette and Randall, who I think are clearly
what type of athlete is I'm saying what Adonis, like, is he could he be a guy in space type of thing?
He could be, but I think he's more of like, I think he's an every down type of tailback after Randall. I think when Randall and Cornette leave, it's going to be Adonis and the Nico Capelli kid from Liberty, who's a real good player. I think are going to be your tailbacks.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that because I think Adonis is a good player.
I know you do. Went to Tom Brady's high school.
Yes. And wrote about it. Got good traffic. Okay. They need somebody like Eric Johnson was supposed to be. A burner in space. Eric Johnson just doesn't put
Marcus
it.
Marcus Sullivan. Every time you bring it, that's the closest thing that they have on this current roster. He can't catch the ball.
Amen.
Consistently.
Marcus Sullivan potentially could be. He's got to learn how to catch the ball, and in big games, he's not there. I'm sorry. They need a guy they could throw the ball. Now, my
Devontae
guy
Davis
has been good.
Has been pretty good on the outside.
Who's got better numbers, Jake Phillips or Anthony
Williams? I think your boy Anthony Williams
Better numbers in receptions and yards.
And I'm shocked by that. I really thought Jake Phillips could have a good year. You picked him because of his high school.
Watched him in Ely for 2 days. Listen, I know.
You didn't even when you were asked who you're, and we're talking about our preseason, like, pick to click. Everybody had to pick one guy to emerge throughout the year. Mine was Jordan Sparkman, who actually had a couple tackles for loss on this past weekend, just so you know. And you, like, week one, somebody asked you what yours was, and you couldn't even come up with his name.
I knew who he was though from De La Salle. Listen, he was good in Ely. I'm all for.
So is Dre Crawford. Ely doesn't.
Dre Crawford is awful. He's part of the problem. He'll be.
Well, gone. He hasn't played, so he's not really part of the problem right now.
Okay, here's the deal. UNLV, I know if there's one thing I do know is recruiting, high school football recruiting.
I'll give you
Could
that.
You agree on that? You might not know much about
it,
nothing.
You know it much better than I do.
Okay.
No doubt about that.
Going to a Gorman or a De La Salle or a Santa Margarita and going after the kid, not the kid that's going to USC, not the kid that's going to Oklahoma, but the kid who's going to like a mid-major and being active and trying to recruit the guy is good. Scoggins, mid-major type of kid. Chose UNLV over Fresno, New Mexico, San Jose State, right? Anthony Williams, another kid at De La Salle. Those guys are playing in big games every week. They've got the best facilities and the best competition. They come ready to play. True freshmen. You don't have to develop them. It's not a coin flip.
You have to develop.
You have to. Not as much as Marcus Sullivan.
Yeah,
who played at who had no coaching.
But it's not like
in high school.
It's not like you can just grab these like this. For this next year, you can't just grab a bunch of these true freshmen and throw them out there and expect different results.
No, but
that's
you can
you've been having to play way too many freshmen.
But at least they come having played big football with real coaching and having watched film, right? I give you an example, and I'm not calling out anybody or picking anybody. You take Cameron Jefferson, who physically and athletically is supposed to be your best lineman, hasn't played like it at all, right? He played at Desert Oasis. Who knows if they've watched film? He was a guy who was a late bloomer. These guys, not only do you have to teach them to get used to the speed of college football, Taylor, you've got to teach them about football, about how real football's played. There's a difference of going out and playing football and being ready to go play football. And when you get an Anthony Williams kid from De La Salle, he knows how to play. He knows how to prepare, and that's what you see out there. And UNLV just doesn't have many of those guys. And that's my argument. You contradict me. Let me let everybody know that you're contradicting me on LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk every Tuesday at 7 on KUNV.
I think that you may be just jumping the gun a bit on this. Causation does not
whatever it is, the theory works right now. It might fail later, but right now it works.
Yeah, and I just think you're making it sound too simple. You know, you can't just go grab the third and fourth guy off of all of these great high schools and just throw them all together and it'll magically fix itself. There's still the questions about coaching. There's still the fact that you don't have, get those guys in the secondary too. You know, get in this upcoming recruiting class, just bring in 12 defensive backs. Just throw as many darts against the board as you can and maybe a couple of them work out. Because that's where your problem is.
Okay.
And maybe that's also a scheme thing. But mostly, these guys are just getting beat on simple stuff in week 9.
I agree with you.
It's ridiculous.
I agree with you.
As far as that goes.
And I would think the fact that you've got a quarterback who's going to be your guy the next 3 years, not, every time you listen to a Rebel game on that network, the analyst, and by the way, J.J. Stokes, the worst analyst in college football history. He was doing the color for the UNLV San Diego State game. Their one stat is, Nick Sherry was the 7th UNLV starter in 9 years. Well, Nick Sherry is going to be the guy the next 3 years, and he's putting up some great numbers. I think he could go out and get some guys using Nick Sherry. Hey, we need some guys that can catch the ball. You know how to catch the ball. We have somebody that could get you the ball. Want to come play? Okay, you want to go to USC or UCLA? Go be the 9th guy there, and maybe you'll get in as a senior.
They are not talking to anybody that
is considering
USC.
I would try to find one, and I know this is more crazy than anything I've said in a while. I would try to find one guy that's getting recruited, a 4- or 5-star guy, and use that analogy.
You can go talk to him, but you're not getting in that living room.
Well, but Bobby's a
good – I don't disagree. I don't think that that's a bad idea as far as trying it, but you also got to remember, as your
How
time
you
and all
say
this
no
is,
to Bobby
is,
with
your
those
resources.
Blue eyes.
Oh, dear. Dial it back there, Ray. I think very easily. You look at his record. That's how you say no.
I know. You're right. Listen, a lot could be fixed with UNLV, and the one thing that could help is the victory on Saturday against New Mexico. They're favored by 3.5. It's a winnable game, which you can't say many weeks.
Yeah.
Let's start.
And these last four, that's going to be at least the one interesting thing going. They are winnable, they're on paper. You look at it, UNLV has got a chance. You haven't been able to say that in these last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. You know, last week they were at least closer. But even, you know, the Reno game where they came out strong and that, if you looked at it on paper, they weren't going to win that game. But now these last four, they've got a chance. They will probably be favored. Shoot, they could end up being favored in all of them.
That's what I said.
Which is crazy. Like, they're not winning all of them.
Well, they're cover. They're like 6-2 this year against
seven
the spread.
7-2.
7-2 against the spread.
All they do is cover.
But
they also, you generally expect a return to the mean on that before the end of the year.
Well, it's a high that might not go away. UNLV bettors on the plus this year. And why not? Listen, I think at this point we agree Bobby's likely going to get another year to try to fix it.
If they go 0-4, no. But
see, I still am under the argument
you can't go 1-12.
I totally agree with you. And even though I like Bobby and I've said it, and I like UNLV football and I said it, I don't know if UNLV financially could handle to get rid of him and his entire staff.
And that's what
and bring in a new staff.
And that's the
what are you going to get
main,
better?
The main argument, but it's still at 1-12. You can't if they get three or if they end up with 3 or 4 wins total, so they go 2-2 or 3-1. Then I think you can at least justify it with the positive signs. I don't know how he keeps his job next year as far as taking advantage of having Sherry, having those running backs, having some returns on the offensive line. How do you fix that defense in a year in order to make it like a, you know, close to a 6-6 season, something like that? I'm not sure how you do that, but I think he would get the time with a couple or three wins here at the end.
So last year you won two. Year one, you won one. Year two, you won two.
No, it's 2-2.
Oh, 2-2 both years. What am I thinking? Year three, say you win three games, you go 2-2 the rest of the way. I think that's enough to keep your job.
Considering the financial stuff that you brought up and
– who are you going to get? You're going to have to pay more to upgrade, and who could you get? Don't tell me Bobby Petrino.
No. Anybody who's brought up Bobby Petrino for that is clueless. There's absolutely no way he takes that job.
Yeah, and why want him? He's a snake. He's not a good guy.
A lot of people want to see Jim Fassel. He's got nothing else to do right now with the USFL.
Yeah, but does Jim Fassel know how to recruit?
I don't know. It'd be an interesting argument. But that, you know, that's one of the more popular names. If I'm looking for a coach, even though it hasn't worked at least in year one for Colorado State, I would like a guy with a profile of kind of a Jim McElwain, where you're taking a top level assistant from a really good program.
Yeah, we tried that with Jim Strong from Notre Dame. It didn't work either.
Well, that was Notre Dame.
It's tough to win in Vegas. There's a lot of things outside of going out there and coaching that are against you. No tradition in the program. The stadium thing, which is allegedly getting fixed. It's a tough cross to bear. It could be called professional suicide, folks. We talked about UNLV football for 30 minutes. We didn't think it could be done without mentioning basketball. Who knows what the Rebels will do Saturday, but next week we'll be here to talk about it again. For Taylor, I'm Ray. Thanks for listening.